This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Currently, there are about 35,000 Ohio students who receive vouchers to attend private schools under the EdChoice program. Now, a bill proposed by a pair of lawmakers would make every student in Ohio eligible for a voucher to pay for a private education. House Bill 290, known as the Backpack Bill, would give $5,500 to students in kindergarten through eighth grade and $7,500 to students in high school. Right now, Ohio has five voucher programs. House Bill 290 would replace three of them. Current voucher programs require kids to live near certain schools or have certain family incomes. This bill would eliminate those requirements. Opponents of the Backpack Bill argue it would siphon public dollars to private organizations, and the Ohio Coalition for Equity and Adequacy on School Funding plans to challenge the bill in court. We'll hear from an opponent of the legislation coming up, but first, my recorded conversation with a sponsor of the legislation. We're joined now by Ohio State Representative Marilyn John, a Republican representing the 2nd House District out of Richland County. Representative John, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for having me this morning.
It's our pleasure to have you. Let's talk about House Bill 290, also called the Backpack Bill. Why do you sponsor this? Why do you support it?
So education is a passion of mine. I have been involved through a program that I started several years ago called Leader Richland. And I see education as a real opportunity and something that will has such an impact on our young people and their future. And so I would like for families and students to be able to have a voice and a say in what best fits them. And education is not or should not be a one-size-fits-all. I know students that public education works great for them, but I know students and young people that's not what's in their best interest and not where they can flourish and be successful. And I think that opportunities are a good thing, and we need to provide as many opportunities for students and families as we can. And so I support the Backpack Bill.
So what do you see as problems with public school opportunities for some of these students who might take advantage of this if it becomes the law?
So some of the issues, I think, have to deal with mostly what is more specific to a student. As an example, class size. Maybe there are, well, I know there are students that a class size of 20 to 25 students doesn't work for them. They maybe are dealing with issues outside of school that with their concentration. And I know students like this. I know students that for whom private education works better for them. And so there are those instances. I think that competition is a good thing. I think that giving opportunities to students and families, and that increases awareness. Certainly, there is an increased awareness of what's going on in education around the country, around the state of Ohio, as a result of the epidemic. And so I think that there are some issues there that families want to have more choice in their children's education. You know, part of the epidemic, also as a result of the epidemic, we had several schools that didn't open back up to have in-person learning. And there were students that struggled. I talked to a teacher just this past weekend. She is a fourth grade teacher in one of the schools up to the northern part of the state. She said that 15 out of 24 of her 24 students cannot read at a fourth grade level. And it's a result of not having in-person learning. I'm very, very thankful that the schools in my district, they for the most part came back in person. But that didn't happen across the state of Ohio. And I just think that parents need to have choices when it comes to this.
I understand that about 35,000 K through 12 students in the state receive a state-funded voucher to attend private schools through what is called the Ed Choice program. There are voucher programs that exist in the state already. My understanding is that this current piece of legislation, House Bill 290 or the Backpack Bill, would replace three of those. Could you explain to our listeners the purpose of that and how it would work?
Sure. So the voucher program, we actually expanded it in the budget. And the current voucher program, in order to qualify for a voucher, you have to live in a school district that would be considered failing and be no more than 300% of the poverty level, which is approximately 75,000. The poverty level is about approximately 25,000. So 300% would be 75,000 household income. And so the voucher program is limited to in the state of Ohio. It's not available to any student who may benefit from the voucher program. And so this would take the state funding portion. So there's three pots of money in order to educate a child. There are local levies. So, and that's dependent on the each district. There's the state dollars, and then there is the federal dollars coming in. The backpack program would take the state portion only, the state dollars only, set it into a savings account, an educational savings account, and it would be up to the parents to determine how to spend that money and what best works for their student.
We're talking with Ohio State Representative Marilyn John, a Republican of Richland County who represents the 2nd House District. Our conversation today is about House Bill 290, also called the Backpack Bill. Well, let's talk about public schools and their role in this. I know that a lot of public school advocates see this as an attack on what they provide to students. What is your response to the public schools that are very concerned about state dollars funding private education?
My children, I have a son and daughter. My children came up through public education and they received a good education. It's not about necessarily what a public school is or isn't doing. It's about giving opportunity and options to families. And so I think there are some students and families who feel that another option, whether it's homeschooling or private schools or parochial schools, they feel that that is a better option for their child. And it is my opinion that they should have an opportunity to do that, irregardless of what their income is or the school district in which they live.
Well, how do you defend subsidizing with public tax dollars private enterprises?
Well, it's our tax dollars. And so I, you know, right now I can give an example of a young man who lives in my district. Not because the public school is not doing something for him, but a private school education works better for him because of what's happening in his family life. And I'm not going to go into detail, but he doesn't qualify for a voucher. And so his family, in order to do what's best for him, has made the decision to send him to a public school or to a private school where there are lower class sizes, where they can, he can be nurtured, in a different way. But they have to pay out of pocket for that. Their tax dollars are still going to the public school system. But he's not being educated there. And the backpack program, part of the tax dollars would continue to go to the public school. But the state tax dollars would be put into an educational savings account and help with that endeavor. And we already do that through the voucher program now. But it limits people. It's limited to those who it's available to. And I just think that the voucher program should be, that opportunity should be available to anyone who thinks that their child would be better educated in a private school setting or a homeschool setting.
And what about post-secondary education? Why not support a program like this that might allow a student who, you know, could maybe go to one of the public regional universities, but feels like they would be better served at one of the smaller liberal arts colleges in the state? Is that something you would explore?
So right now, I have a son that's graduated from college and a daughter that is getting ready to graduate. There are lots of opportunities already available through for the higher ed that brings the cost of a private smaller school setting down to, in some cases, lower than a public school setting at the higher ed. I have a niece that just is starting as a freshman. And she, a smaller school setting is what's better for her. She felt like she would thrive in a smaller school setting. She's doing really well. They had enough scholarship opportunities that brought the cost of her education per year down below a state school setting. So there's already opportunities for higher ed.
Are those opportunities funded through the state?
No, many of those came through the college or local scholarship funds.
So I guess what I'm asking is, why not encourage programs similar to that in the K through 12 level? Why not find some ways for private schools to better compete in the marketplace by offering those same types of incentives that some of the private colleges do?
Might be something to consider. I mean, that's not the backpack bill is limited to K-12.
Okay, we know that a similar program in Arizona had some issues, and I'm reading some reporting from the Columbus Dispatch from earlier this month that said a 2018 investigation by the auditor in that state found about $700,000 used on fraudulent purchases like perfume, cosmetics, and clothing. Again, that's reporting from the Columbus Dispatch. What type of oversight do you expect this program to have? According to that Dispatch article, this bill does not include specific oversight requirements and instead directs the state treasurer to create an oversight plan?
So the program, yes, we're working with the treasurer's office to set up the educational savings accounts. This money would not go into, would not, you know, we're not writing out a check to the parents. And so they, the treasurer would set up auditing and there would be close oversight to the program.
I'm wondering if you are concerned at all about legal challenges to this. Now, I know that there are voucher programs already in existence in Ohio, but our neighbors to the south in Kentucky, which is part of our listening area at WVXU, some type of program that was enacted by the state legislature there that would allow donors to get tax credits for supporting private school tuition, that was shot down by a judge. It was blocked by a judge. And I know that questions have been raised about the role of the Ohio Constitution and the way the state provides education. What are your concerns, if any, about the constitutionality of further expanding the voucher system?
Again, we already have a voucher system and program in place. And so this is just expanding it to allow to allow this to be an opportunity for any student. So could there be legal challenges to it? Sure, there could be legal challenges to anything that we do. But I don't think that should keep us from pursuing these types of opportunities for the residents of the state of Ohio.
We're talking with Ohio State Representative Marilyn John, a Republican from the state's second House district. She's from Richland County. I want to ask about metrics for success, because you've evaluated the public school situation and what you have cited as opportunities from families you know and families you've heard about who feel like they need a different system of support for education outside of the public school system. How will you measure success of this program to determine whether it should be revisited or overhauled or changed in some way?
Well, we will obviously keep track of those types of that information, that data, just as they are the current voucher programs. And again, they were just expanded. The future will tell whether this is helpful, but we think that it will be. We think that it will improve outcomes for students, and we think that it will, that competition will also help to make improvements across education in all realms.
State Representative Marilyn John is a sponsor of House Bill 290, also called the Backpack Bill. Representative John, thank you for taking some time to explain the bill and your position on it with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, hear from an opponent of the Backpack Bill. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Legislation in Columbus would provide vouchers for every student in Ohio to attend a private school. Opponents of the bill argue it would be detrimental to public education in the state. I spoke to one such opponent earlier. Here is our recorded interview. Joining us now is Bill Phyllis, Executive Director of the Coalition for Equity and Adequacy of School Funding. Bill, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
What are your concerns about this legislation?
I'm concerned about this legislation because it is antithetical to the state responsibility for public education as enunciated in the Ohio Constitution, specifically Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution, which says that the General Assembly shall secure by taxation or otherwise a thorough and efficient system of common schools throughout the state. The state's responsibility, the explicit responsibility of the state, is to provide a thorough and efficient system. Now, the authors of this bill have stated that they want the money to follow the child, the school child, the school-aged child, as opposed to the money going to the system.
And what we know about Ohio and education and funding opportunities is that there are voucher programs that already exist, and this would be, I suppose, this would replace some of them and expand some opportunities for other individuals to participate in that. Have you seen negative implications of the current voucher system?
Well, there are numerous negative results of the voucher system. One is that according to in a recent study conducted by the Cincinnati Inquirer, voucher students in general do less well in private schools than they do than their peers do in the public system. So there's no private school advantage when it comes to performance academic performance. Secondly, there's a segregative effect with vouchers because they tend to, the students tend to be of the same economic level, the same racial level, same race. So there's segregation along racial lines, economic lines, social lines. One of the biggest problems is that we're taking public money to fund an ideology in some cases, a religious philosophy in some cases, and it detracts from the public good. It detracts from the school being the center of the community. It detracts from the idea that was established early on in this country, and that is that the children of all the people ought to be going to school together, to learn together, to become Americans together. Now, if somebody wanted to opt out, they had the opportunity to do so by paying tuition to a private school or and later on in Ohio's history, in about the 1970s or 1980s, homeschooling was allowed. Parents could drop out of the system to homeschool, but that was at their own expense. Now the public is expected to pay for the private choices of people, and that's just antithetical to the Constitution. It's antithetical to what we're all about as a country.
Well, there are some who would argue on behalf of this legislation that there are social and racial issues related to schools and public schools and their current performances, and that this type of opportunity would offer a pathway for people who are socially or economically disadvantaged or from a racial minority group to attend a school that they otherwise would not be able to. What is your concern about that argument?
Well, let's go back to the origin of vouchers. Economist Milton Friedman, back in the 1950s, was advocating vouchers, and he was advocating vouchers from the standpoint that he thought the government had no business being involved in education other than providing funds. And then later on, about 20 years later, after the 1950s, he said essentially, that is, the economist Friedman said that really the government really should get completely out of education, and that every parent should find a way to pay for the education of their own children. And so it was just that's where this voucher idea started. Then, of course, in the South, during the subsequent to the Brown versus Board of Education decision, the decision that required that or indicated the separate but equal doctrine was not appropriate, that kids should be going to school together. Some people in the South decided they didn't want to integrate, and so they come up with this voucher scheme, and that was along the lines that Friedman, economist Friedman, was advocating. But they used the voucher program as a way to escape integration. The bottom line of all this is that there are so many nefarious ideas that came about start this voucher, start the country down the voucher road.
We're talking with Bill Phyllis, the executive director for the Coalition for Equity and Adequacy of School Funding. Our conversation today is about a piece of legislation in Columbus, House Bill 290. It's described by proponents as the backpack bill. And Bill, you were talking about nefarious ideas just then. Could you elaborate?
Well, the public school was established to promote democracy. Public school, the public common school, was established to grow a nation. We're a nation of immigrants, and the only way we could have a common bond, a common direction, was to have all the young people side by side in the public school system, learning to get along together, learning to become Americans together. Now, if we separate into Jewish schools, Catholic schools, independent Christian schools, Muslim schools, we don't have that common bond. We can't develop that common bond, and this country would end up like some of the countries in the Middle East, where we have various religious factions fighting one another, competing with one another. The bottom line is that we need to come together as various religious groups, various ethnic groups, various economic groups, and have kids side by side in the common school program. And of course, that's what the Constitution requires. The sponsors of this legislation either don't know what the Constitution of Ohio says with regard to education, or they don't care what it says. Either way, that's a nefarious situation.
So, Bill, if there are families in a certain school district who say, look, this district it's not serving our kids' needs. This is a district that is basically failing in a lot of areas. What do you do objectively to look at that district and to determine what the circumstances are that have led to these perceived failures?
Well, those people should be contacting their state legislature, legislators. They need to be involved in politically. Back in 1991, the coalition that I represent brought suit against the state challenging the constitutionality of the school funding system. That went through the courts, and in 1997, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that our system of school funding is unconstitutional. Again, in 2000, the same is unconstitutional. 2001 and 2002, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled the system unconstitutional. Now, what did the state do about it? Essentially, put a little more money into the system, but really didn't fix the system. Now, it's a state responsibility to ensure the school districts have sufficient resources, and then not only in the school budget, but have sufficient resources in the communities to ensure that all kids would come to school ready to learn. All kids would have sufficient programs and services to progress through the grades. And so that this responsibility comes back to the state legislature in particular to ensure that we have a thorough and efficient system. So now, parents have choices, if they don't want to stay in the public system, well, they can homeschool or they can take their youngsters to a private school as long as they pay the bill.
Our guest is Bill Phyllis, Executive Director of the Coalition for Equity and Adequacy of School Funding. We're talking about House Bill 290 in Ohio, also called the Backpack Bill. I want to talk about the impact of the pandemic on this type of conversation. Debates and conversations about school funding and school vouchers, those aren't new, but dealing with this once-in-a-century pandemic is pretty new to us. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the impact of the pandemic on these debates, on these conversations. I know a lot of people pointed to private schools that perhaps handled this situation differently as it relates to in-person learning and other opportunities for students. Public schools maybe were more universally closed or asked for masks to be used. Do you think that the pandemic has influenced the debate or conversation at all?
Well, it has. I'm not sure that it should. The pandemic doesn't change the state responsibility for a thorough and efficient system. In fact, some of the people who operate private charter schools and private schools and other alternatives to the public, use this crisis as an advantage for getting additional kids into their system. Now, obviously, when you're dealing with 90% of the population, which the public schools deal with in the state, or more than 90%, and in many districts, it's almost 100% of the kids going to the public system. When you're dealing with an overwhelming majority of the kids, policies obviously have to be different for the public sector as opposed to the private sector. Now, there's been no data that shows that private schools have been any more prone to subjecting kids to the virus than the public system. There isn't any data along that line, but the private sector was certainly taking advantage of public schools having to be closed to get more population in the private sector.
What about concerns surrounding, I guess, what could be characterized as pop-up schools? I know we all became familiar with an institution called Bishop Sycamore that emerged out of Ohio and they were featured in a football game that was broadcast on ESPN, prompting an investigation and a national look at what this organization is, and appeared not to be a fully functioning institution of education. Are there concerns about enterprises like that popping up should they see some sort of cash cow opportunity from these vouchers?
Well, that's an important point. You know, Ohio, the new voucher law, or the new proposal in House Bill 290, would allow vouchers to go to non-chartered, non-tax schools. Now, those are schools that are just totally unregulated. The only thing that's necessary to start one of those institutions is to have some kind of a curriculum, guarantee the state that they will be open the normal school year or the required number of hours in the school year, and that they report their attendance to the district of residence. Well, you know, essentially they're deregulated. So anyone could just start a non-chartered, non-public school and get their kids vouchers. Now, then it's relatively easy to establish even a chartered private school. All you need is about 10 kids in the first grade and start at the first grade and have some kind of a curriculum and notify the state that you're going to have a private school. And you're kind of in business. So if we give a voucher to every kid, I can see people, for example, in the homeschooling community, getting together with half a dozen other families and just starting either a non-chartered, non-public school or a chartered non-public school and you know, go into business. And in some cases, the motivation might be that they want to have the public pay for their religious doctrines, or it might be that they would want to start a charter school, which is highly unregulated. The charter school district is highly unregulated, and collect the money. And there would be others who would take advantage of the homeschooling opportunities that are subsidized in House Bill 290, and they would you know, provide some kind of education. And there's the homeschooling is really deregulated. So they might provide some kind of education for the kids and then use the rest of the voucher money for groceries or for an off-track vehicle or some recreation vehicle or toys for kids. And then, of course, how would the state regulate a situation like this? If the money goes to, you know, 600 and now the money previously the money went to the education funds went to 610 school districts. Now, let's say you have 200,000 or 300,000 parents, sets of parents receiving money. How's the state going to regulate that? How's the state going to monitor that to see what how the money is spent? The state couldn't even regulate the ECOT, the Education Classroom of Tomorrow, a charter school, which took probably $500 million out of the state treasury for students that they over the years didn't serve. The state didn't regulate that. That was one entity, and the state didn't regulate it. In 1 year, they found that the state that ECOT chiseled the state out of some $60 million in just 1 year. Now, how would the state monitor expenditures for from 200,000 or 300,000 parents? It wouldn't be done, and there would be all kinds of fraud and corruption connected with that.
That's Bill Phyllis. He is the executive director of the Coalition for Equity and Adequacy of School Funding. Bill, we appreciate the time that you gave us today in explaining your position on House Bill 290. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at wvxu.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.